Welcome to Sports Mad Rez's This Week in Review podcast, where we highlight the recent news in sports medicine research. This past week, we had two posts on sportsmedrez.org. That's res.org. The first post discussed a randomized clinical trial where the authors found that a dynamic, self-stretching technique may improve dorsiflexion even better than traditional self-stretching due to a strap that aids in gliding the talus posteriorly relative to the distal tibia to improve arthrokinematics. In our second post, we discussed an article in which the authors found that helmetless tackling training reduces head impacts in collegiate football players. This research article has been getting a lot of press recently, and here to discuss it with us is Dr. Jane McDevitt from East Stroudsburg University, and who's a regular contributor to sportsmedrez.org, and who has wrote this post. Welcome, Jane. So this week you had a very interesting post related to the recent article that looked at helmetless and equipmentless tackling drills and how it can really have an impact on the team over the course of just one season. The intervention here was that the experimental group basically did a practice twice a week during the preseason and once a week during the regular season, in which they had 5 minutes where they did not wear equipment and they did tackling drills, while another randomly grouped selected group of people did their regular practices. And what did they find here?
So, and I also just want to preface that the control group did still do running and practicing drills that were not involved with head impact. So no tackling was going through during their 5 minute drills. So, and they found that head impacts decreased, but most importantly, that they feel that that decrease in head impacts wasn't just because they were not having tackling for 5 minutes, but because their behavior changed. They were able to really get them to change how they tackle, and which resulted in less head impacts. And the control group completely plateaued. I believe it was about 14 head impacts per athletic exposure, because they did it for game and practice. And which, if you do the calculate, 14 head impacts, and you multiply that by the amount of times they are practicing and having games, and if this is a, you know, a freshman that will eventually go on to college professional, it's an alarming amount of head impacts. The other really interesting thing was that it was only 5 minutes and it wasn't every practice. This really does seem like something that could easily be implemented with really great results. I mean, a decrease in nearly 30% of head impacts just because of this 5 minute drill. Not even, again, not even every day, twice a week during the preseason, once a week during the season. Now, this was in a Division I NCAA, so they knew what they were doing. They obviously are good at what they do in their position, but again, they still change their behavior. It's like you can teach an old dog, quote unquote, new tricks. So if we were to implement this in a high school, just think of the amount of head impacts that would decrease through their lifetime. You know, then, you know, maybe we wouldn't be having CTE and football conversations.
It's interesting that what you just mentioned reminds me a lot of lower extremity injury prevention programs, where it's essentially a 15-minute program that can be used instead of the standard warm-up and reduces the number of lower extremity injuries by 40% or more if the program's adhered to. And here's yet again, another example of a 5 minute change in a practice can have this profound effect on head impacts. And so it seems as though there's very little cost or risk of doing this, but a huge potential benefit. And so it seems as though so many teams should just even try it to see if it works for them.
Exactly. Yeah. Just look at the risk to benefits. I mean, low cost, not a whole lot of training, you know, maybe for the high school level, implementing it at a high school level, but implementing it at a Division II or Division III school would not be that difficult. Very, very low risk with very, very high benefits. I mean, even if with this growing knowledge base of, you know, and training that the coaches would need at a high school level to teach, you know, somebody that maybe hasn't had a whole lot of tackling techniques practiced, you know, 5 minutes of a no tackling drill. That's, I mean, not looking at not even head impacts, but what about other injuries? You know, if we're not beating everybody's heads together, what about the decreases in cervical spine?
So this was the first year of a 2-year study, if I remember correctly.
Yeah. This is the pilot almost.
And I think one of the reasons they probably did this was because the results are so dramatic. Mm-hmm. That 30% reduction in head impacts is quite a dramatic. It's a huge effect, really. Yeah. And perhaps they haven't done it yet, but in this paper, did they discuss whether or not that this decrease in head impacts actually translated to less head injury or less injuries in general?
They didn't look, not in this paper, they really did just focus on the head impacts. However, they did say that, you know, this potentially could decrease the amount of cervical spine, neck, head and neck injuries. And I mean, with the amount of success they had, I'm sure, and I'm looking forward to it, and I'm sure they will decrease those injuries as well.
So I think as we present this to the coaches, it's important for us to say that so far we know that there's a dramatic decrease in head impacts, mm-hmm. and we believe that this will translate to injury. But I think it'll be another year or two until potentially we see the paper from this group that verifies that, in fact, the injuries went down. And I think that'll be really the final piece of data that we need to really put over the top.
Right.
But it seems as though with the data so far, that team should at least consider it.
Absolutely. I mean, right. We'll see. I feel multiple benefits of this 5-minute drill. Again, not even every practice, once a week. It just seems too easy to implement to overlook.
Great. Thanks, Jane. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Have a good one.
You too.
To our listeners, don't forget that we also share extra material on social media. For example, this past week, our social media posts included several news articles about the article we just discussed. And if you're an athletic trainer who wants to get an early start with evidence-based practice EUs, then please check out our 4 online courses available through Human Kinetics website. Remember, you can always follow us on Twitter, Facebook, Google+, or LinkedIn. We'll be back next week with more sports medicine research. Until then, have a fun one.